You're listening to The Profile.
Hello, and welcome to The Profile podcast. I'm Andy Peck. Maybe you have a leadership role, or maybe you're just seeking to use your influence in godly ways. You will know that leadership can be a bit of a roller coaster, wonderful highs, crushing lows, and an awful lot of daily grind. Sometimes you need advice and encouragement from people who can relate to your situation. This is why for the past 18 years I've been interviewing Christians in the world of leadership, from churches, charities, and commercial and non-commercial settings. I've been aiming to support Christians just like you, so you can honour God, who is our ultimate leader. I trust that this next conversation will be an inspiration to you. This show is brought to you by Premier Christianity Magazine, the UK's leading Christian magazine. Get full online access and the print magazine every month by becoming a subscriber. See special offers available now at premierchristianity.com. It was not a virtue in the first century, and it's not always seen as a virtue today. But every wise leader needs to cultivate it. I'm referring to the quality of humility. The New Testament is written against the backdrop of a society where humility was synonymous with failure and shame. And in these days of social media and self-promotion, a little pride in your performance is deemed acceptable. If you're a Christian in leadership, of course you want people to say good things about you and the church or charity or business you represent. And you may want to give them a helping hand, of course. Well, I'm joined today by Paul Friend, who has written a book entitled Fierce Humility. Two words that don't seem to go together, but certainly suggest that humility is a must for the Christian and the Christian leader. Paul has been involved in Christian leadership for 25 years, leading the youth charity Southwest Youth Ministries, SWYM, and a local church outside of Exeter. So welcome, Paul, to the Leadership Show.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
So what drew you to the topic first, Paul?
Well, I guess, first off, I was challenged by a number of friends and different people to write something. And I was a bit resistant to that, but felt God kind of nudge me. And then as I kind of prayed and thought about what to write about, it's the topic of humility is something that I'm passionate about. And obviously, it's a complete oxymoron to write a book on humility and then to try and sell a book on humility. But what I guess the reason why I was drawn to the topic is, I guess, partly out of frustration and just recognizing that leadership in the West has become very stage and celebrity. And even within the church, we've seen that. We've seen stories of failed leadership left, right, and center in and outside the church. And I guess there was a desire in my heart to explore the humility of Jesus again, and to come back to the person, the lifestyle, and the leadership of Jesus, which I think is starkly different to how we perhaps do leadership today, and wanting to focus in on the humility of Jesus, but also recognize pride in my own heart and how I want to pursue a life of humility and spend a bit more time digging into that topic.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And you do it very well. You've employed a structured way of looking at the topic so that we're able to earth it. Just perhaps outline how you've written your book.
So I guess to start with, I explore what is pride and what is humility, and then particularly look at this phrase, fierce humility, which, you know, in some senses, those two words don't go together. But I think actually in Jesus, they do. When we see, you know, often art doesn't help us because we look at Jesus and we see pictures of Jesus as this meek and mild Jesus who was humble. But I think actually when we get back to the Gospels and we look through the Gospels, I just see so many occasions where Jesus is fierce. And it's quite often that he's fierce in the face of pride, whether it's the Pharisees, where he calls them whitewashed tombs and brood of vipers. That's not very meek and mild. But also with his own disciples, it's like I think we see in Jesus a recognition that pride has the potential to rip apart his church. And so he just calls it out and says, you know, not so with you. This is not how you're, how my kingdom's going to be, or get behind me, Satan, which again, not very meek and mild. And so I kind of frame what I mean by that fierce humility and then just break it down into two chunks in the book. One that talks about how do we humble ourselves before God and what does that look like practically? And how do we humble ourselves before others? And that's probably something I find harder, because I find it a bit easier to humble myself before God because he's God. But to humble myself before people I find annoying or people who have hurt me, that's perhaps a bit more challenging. So hopefully what I've tried to do with the book is to break it down into really practical chapters. And then at the end of each chapter, there's some questions for reflection or discussion as well for either leadership teams or home groups or groups of people to chew over what does this look like for us in our team environment to really live this out.
Thank you, Paul. And the irony, of course, is that Jesus says very little about leadership. One of the few things he does say is not so with you. And yet, typically, the followers of Jesus often do exactly what, quotes, the world is doing in terms of their style of leadership. So a couple of questions really about the book, and then we'll explore a bit more about this concept of humility within within our Christian culture. The toughest chapter to write, Paul?
Good question. I think they were all tough to write, to be completely honest, in terms of it was like doing heart surgery on myself, because I had to, but in a good way. Like, it was just deeply challenging as I read and studied and just felt the conviction of God as I read it, and just was like, I'm actually even more aware of my pride and my utter need of Jesus, which is a good thing, but it was a challenge to write it. I think for me, the chapters looking at forgiveness and looking at releasing, not controlling, and just kind of facing again, you know, am I holding anything against anybody? And am I walking out a lifestyle and a leadership that is going after restoration of relationship where there's been hurt or where there's been fallout? Not that I have a big trail of that behind me, but just the challenge of making sure that we have cultures where we pursue reconciliation. And then, you know, I guess the challenge as someone who's a visionary leader and wants to, I'm just more and more aware that I need to get out the way and get out the room sometimes to release others, because people will defer to me or want to know what I think. And so to really chew over in our day, what does it mean to be a leader who releases others and who doesn't try to take the limelight, in fact gets out of the limelight to release others. I found every chapter challenging.
Okay, well, I was going to ask you which is the most enjoyable. Maybe I ought to ask the question, well, which gave you the most insight in terms of, you know, your research? Often you're looking at topics and you're not, you know, you're researching them in order to write, and then you think, oh, that's an interesting point.
Yeah, I think it was interesting just chatting to people as I was researching and writing. I remember having a conversation with a good friend of mine who just said, but of course the key is us knowing who we are in God, knowing that we're a son and a daughter, and operating out of a sense of security, identity, worth and value in God. That means we're not running around in our leadership deficient of those things and needing to find them in what we're doing. And as I then thought about that, and just, you know, I've titled it fiercely for the praise and recognition of the Father, not the crowd. And I think for me, that is the linchpin of all the rest of it. Because we can try and walk out forgiveness and releasing and not controlling and serving and unity. But if we've got that deficiency in us, which we all have, we all struggle with feelings of acceptance and worth at points to greater or lesser degrees. But unless we are rooted in in our relationship with God and our value and worth and security and identity coming from him, I think it's really hard to practice the rest of it. So I think that I found really challenging and releasing, actually, to go, you know what, I can be totally free if I plant myself in the presence of God and in who he says I am. I'm free to serve. I'm free to. And I think the verse that comes to mind on that is when Jesus washes the disciples' feet, and just that phrase, that knowing where he'd come from and where he was going, he gets down. And that the freedom that comes to serve, to lead, actually comes not from a deficiency in us, but from actually a wholeness that we can find in Jesus. So, yeah.
I hinted in my introduction, Paul, that there's a bit of a dichotomy in the social media world. Mm. And you, like I, I'm sure, have seen people posting stuff. And obviously, we don't know exactly what people's motivation is. But sometimes it seems as if people are drawing attention to what they're doing. And sometimes it's because of the charity they're part of, the church. They want to promote God, what God's doing.
Yeah.
And it is a challenging kind of tightrope to walk. I'm just wondering your reflections on that.
Yeah, I think it's really challenging. And I think in leadership, it's something that we have to wrestle with and we can't run away from, because this is the world that we live in. We need to be sharing what's going on for our supporters, for people to pray, for, you know, to be on the people's radar and all of those things. But in some senses, I think COVID didn't help us in this. I've been leading a local church, and, you know, at that point where suddenly every church was online and everyone was able to compare I like what that church is doing. And as a church leader, you know, you regularly had people go, why can't we do it like them? And what about this? And there was always an opinion, and comparison just breeds dissatisfaction, I think. And so I think the challenge for me in all of that is just having a short account with God on why am I, what's my motivation here? I think there is a difference between our personal posts and our organizational posts, and just working out, you know, what are the hidden places for just us and God? Where does it become self-promotion, self-glorification? I talk about in the book, when I was a teenager doing lots of Christian drama at the time, I remember my mum turning to me when I was clearly got a bit cocky one night and just said, duck and let the glory go to God. And that phrase has stuck with me as, you know, when I do anything that I think is in any way good or praiseworthy, you know, thanking God that he's allowed me to be part of it, but giving him back all the glory and not taking anything for myself. But that's a discipline, isn't it? It doesn't just happen. And when we are feeling lonely, tired, when we're more vulnerable to needing comfort from others, it's easy to turn to social media to find that. So I think it's about short accounts with ourselves and with those who we're close with, who can call us out when they go, oh, that just didn't quite sound, that didn't quite come across right. You know, maybe rethink that next time. So having the humility to receive that is key, I think.
Paul, on this show, we're hopefully leader-friendly, because leadership bashing can be a bit of a spectator sport, especially in a local church. You know, someone who's in leadership has put their head above the parapet. They've stepped forward to be a catalyst for change, to head something up that has value. It's, you know, but you need a degree of self-assertion, ego, self-confidence, and somehow that has to go alongside humility. So how do we square it all up?
Yeah, I think that's why this topic is so challenging, because it's not as simple as, you know, a topic like, I'm got to try and think of something now, say greed or something like that, where you're just like, oh, yeah, well, obviously we can look at pride and go, oh, yeah, that's really wrong. But to walk in humility is this path of going, well, I need to know who I am in God, that I find my worth and value and place in him, but also that he's given me gifts that he wants me to use, and that he calls me his you know, is co-laborer and co-worker in Christ. And so I get to partner with God in what he's doing, and which is an incredible privilege and an incredible responsibility. But trying to then navigate this path of I'm joining in with God and wanting to promote and push myself forward and all those things, whilst recognizing this is all about him, not about me. And I think that's where I'm just drawn back to Jesus all the time, to see that utter dependence he had on the Father. You know, I only do what I see the Father doing. That total reliance on going to spend time with his Father before key decisions, in moments of grief, in moments of potential viewed success, he prioritizes time with the Father. And I think I'm just more drawn to the person of Jesus, going, he somehow, you know, he describes himself as gentle and humble in heart. It's part of the character of Jesus. And so I want to go back and you know, yes, there's loads of great leadership stuff in business and stuff that we can apply to Christian leadership. And I don't think we should throw all of that out. But I think we need to more focus on what do we see in Jesus and the way in which he released and didn't push himself forward. In fact, often said, don't talk about this now. And, you know, sent people out, but it didn't kind of chuck them in the deep end, but, you know, said, come back, feedback, and then go again. There's this like beautiful mentoring, releasing, but not put, and it's not all about him. And yet it was all about him and his kingdom, but his heart was all about serving others and releasing others. And so I guess part of this journey was me more falling in love with the ministry of Jesus as well as the person of Jesus, and how we go back to more of that model in Western church particularly.
Well, we've been chatting and you've been sharing about the challenge that leadership brings. And I wonder, because many will be aware of leadership that's gone wrong and gone pear-shaped. It is admittedly a very small percentage, but it does grab the headlines and it gives people concern about those over us. And I just wonder whether you think that part of the issue is that when someone's under the leadership spotlight, they suddenly feel the power that they have and quite like it, or whether it's the fact that people wanting that spotlight tend to go into it for the wrong reasons. I don't know whether you would favour one over the other as the issue that people face.
I think it's possibly a bit of both, but I'd probably chuck a third bit in, which is I think we all like to follow somebody, and often we actually people put people on pedestals and actually are like, oh, I want to really be like you and you're amazing, and a bit of stroking of the ego happens. And I think I don't think it's a conscious choice that, you know, I make a choice to distance myself or to choose to not be accountable. I think it's just a gradual drift. And you know, I think Satan has a field day and just kind of his subtlety. And so I think, yes, perhaps those who pursue leadership might go into it, not necessarily with prideful motive, but with a genuine heart to make a difference and grow. You know, they've got gifts and, you know, God gives them ability to lead well and to speak and to capture an audience and all of those things. But it, to me, it's all about the heart check. And the truth is that we need to have a short account with God ourselves and be checking our motives consistently and daily, in my case. But actually we need others. I think as you go on in leadership in different roles, it can sometimes be harder to find those people to have those real conversations with. But in my experience, it doesn't just happen. We have to lead the way and being vulnerable and just going, you know, hey, I sometimes struggle with this. And my experience is as soon as you do that, other people go, yeah, me too. Can we ask each other how we're doing with this when we next meet up? And pursuing those kind of real, honest, transparent, vulnerable relationships to keep our feet on the ground, and to make sure that we, because I think in a lot of, you know, in a lot of the cases, high profile, you know, people would look at it as a lack of accountability. Often I think it's a leadership is a lonely place. And when we're alone is when we're often tempted, when we're often vulnerable. And so trying to pursue real relationships whilst in leadership, I think is a key way that we combat this.
Paul, I was going to ask you, and maybe we could drill down a bit more in terms of the pressure being placed on a leader. And I guess the theory some would have is that we find it easier to follow people than we find to follow Jesus, who we can't see. And therefore, we do invest in people a hero status. And there's some healthy elements to that, perhaps, if they've had an anointing of God that is imparting to others, then we're grateful to receive that. But nevertheless, that puts people on pedestals, which, as you've said, is a dangerous place to be. And you're a church leader. I don't know whether you find a different psychological pressure in church leadership to a charity leader.
Yeah, I think they're similar and different. I've actually handed over leading the local church now, so it's great to just have one thing to be focusing on rather than okay. two. But I think the pressure that I found in local church leadership is you've got that kind of Sunday shop window moment. And often it's the bit which people have the most opinions about what things should look like. And it is hard because, and I experienced this even through COVID. I think it was really easy to take it out on the church leader of all the stuff that people were processing and just go, well, I don't know what you're doing about that. And so I think often potentially the criticism or the amount of opinions that come your way in church leadership can make it really hard to see the wood for the trees, and to have a real focus around, right, what is it that we're about? Where are we? What's the direction of travel? Where are we going? And to not feel pushed off by stuff coming at you from all directions. In charity leadership, I find the challenge less around that and more around you're so reliant on partnership stuff and funding stuff that's very different than having, at least in church leadership, you've got a captive audience of your church who hopefully are funding and giving and enabling what you want to do. Whereas in charity stuff, there's definitely hopefully you've got some donors and supporters, but it can feel more isolating in terms of, in my case, I had a much bigger budget in the charity, and just that walk of where's it all going to come from was perhaps more challenging in that zone. Whereas the week in, week out pressure of church leadership is very different in that sense.
As we close, Paul, just a question which we've hinted at already, and that's about false humility. And manifestly, there are those who see themselves inappropriately and are always putting themselves down, thinking that that's humility. So I know you cover it in the book. Perhaps you could say a few words about that.
Yeah, so I refer to it as worm pride, which is basically when we go, oh, I'm no good, or I'm rubbish at this, and God could never use me or whatever. And just say that's still pride, because it's all about us. It's just focusing in on us again, instead of trying to find this position some in between, I think I'm amazing and God's gift, to I'm useless, and finding that right view of how God actually sees us and where we are totally dependent on the grace and love of God, and we need him for everything, but where we see ourselves also as a child and loved and all of those things. So I think trying to find that way, and I, as an example, in the book, where I think it was R.T. Kendall talks about, you know, can you imagine Jesus coming down from the Sermon on the Mount and turning to his disciples and saying, how was that? Did I do okay? And of course, when we think about Jesus, we go, well, of course he wouldn't do that. That's ridiculous. And yet, how often do I do that just kind of, oh, I need a little bit of self-validation. I need a little bit of affirmation. But we don't see that in Jesus, I don't think. We see a healthy confidence that's about dependence on God and then leaving it with him. That is the kind of place that I want to get to in my pursuit of Jesus, is to find that place where I'm confident in what he's given me to do, but I recognize that on my own, I can do nothing. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. And so it's about, how do I become more and more dependent on him in my leadership and make it all about him, not about me, which means that I need to be willing and ready to get out of the way, and that my worth is not found in what I do, but in who God says that I am.
Well, fabulous, Paul. It's been great to chat with you. Just remind us of the details again of the book and how people can get a copy.
So it's Fierce Humility, Leading in the Way of Jesus. It's you can get it on Amazon, but you can also get it from a bundle of great Christian bookshops, which would be great to support. And you can also get it off our website, which is www.swym.org.uk.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for all that you shared, and for being so honest in the book, and for throwing light on this key topic for all of us in Christian leadership. Thank you.
Thanks, Andy.
It was super to chat with Paul Friend about the subject of humility, based, of course, on his book, Fierce Humility. Hopefully you have those around you who can keep you humble. And maybe you have in mind also that scriptures encourage us to humble ourselves before God. But as we give God the glory, let's not slip back into false humility. Satan sought to oppose God and was thrown out of heaven. And some scholars see this as before creation. And then, of course, God made humans in his image and likeness. So they weren't needing to grasp before God, but they were given dignity by God. And that included, of course, filling the earth and subduing it, making a difference where God has placed us. That's part of being a human being. And so may God help you to do just that where he has placed you. Tomorrow is a new day with a blank sheet. I wonder what story you will write as you go into the day. So it's my joy to curate these programs every week, and looking forward to your company next time. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
You've been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.